And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he, bringing you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. You know, I was on a call earlier today, and part of the reason why I emphasize that, I've said that from time to time, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. I had a guest on, Diana West, who's written several books on the infiltration of communism into our country. If you haven't read any of Diana West's books, please check them out. One called The Red Thread, and there are several of them. But she used a phrase during the call that just really struck me. She said, "We are now under an attack by psychological warfare." And I thought, wow, I mean, that really captures it. Psychological warfare, that's exactly what is going on. You know, we've seen in the media, for example, how all the hosts say the same phrase over and over and over and over and over and over again. I mean, have you seen some of those compilations? Exactly the same phrase over and over again. That's a brainwashing technique. That's not a technique for informing people. That's a technique for indoctrinating and brainwashing people. And I thought, that's it, psychological warfare. And of course, you are punished. You know, anybody, for example, who questioned the 2020 election was deemed a conspiratorial thinker, trafficking in conspiracy theories. You're deemed a violent person who attacked the Capitol. Even if you got nowhere near it, you could lose your job. You could lose whatever government licensing is required to do business. You could lose that. I mean, all kinds of consequences could flow from you simply saying, "Yeah, I don't believe that the election of 2020 was legitimate. I believe that there was cheating. I believe that there was fraud. I believe that there's some things happened in that election that simply weren't on the up and up. I believe that." That is enough to get you severely punished. And that's part of the psychological warfare. To make telling the truth, as you understand it, so painful that most people look at it and say, "Nah, I'm not going there. I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. I'm not going anywhere near that." That's what psychological warfare is all about. And I thought, that's it. And yet, here is the answer. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. See, we don't have to engage in psychological brainwashing techniques and all this nonsense that the left traffics in, because they're godless for the most part. They're godless. There may be some misguided Christians involved, and then they need to come out of that mess, come out from among them and be separate. But we don't need any of that, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought unto obedience to Jesus Christ. That's how we fight, with the truth, and nothing but the truth. And the truth has a power that all the brainwashing in the world can't overcome, because Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away." Look, folks, they could fill every textbook in the world with some nonsense about nobody really knows whether they're male or female. They have to discover it in their identity. They could be a man living in a woman's body or a woman living in a man's body and all that. They could fill every textbook in the world with that mess, but the truth will still prevail. God made them male and female. Period. Exclamation point. End of discussion. They'll never be able to overcome that truth, which is why they are so hateful of people who won't go along. Because the people who won't go along are reminders of the fact that there is truth and that those who adhere to it simply will not be cowed and will not be silenced. And you can, in fact, I just talked about this on Sunday in my Sunday sermon, the fact that during Elijah's time, Jezebel, leading a weak-kneed Ahab, they were sacrificing children to Baal and Ashtaroth and Molech, and they were having sex in the temple of God. They had male and female prostitutes in the temple of God, having people come in there and perform sex acts and claiming that that was some sort of act of worship, and having Baal in the temple, and having Baal abomination in the temple. And Elijah said, no, we're not having that. And you remember what Jezebel said? Yeah, you know what? After he slayed all the prophets of Baal, she said, yeah, this time tomorrow, I'm going to make you just like one of them. Of course, Elijah got a little shook when that happened, but God strengthened him and helped him get through that. But, you know, we've got people now who are high priests to the religion of child sacrifice in abortion clinics. It's the same thing. It's exactly the same thing. In fact, I didn't share this with you all yesterday, I don't think, but I had it in my stack yesterday. The Satanic Temple is actually suing in the state of Texas, and I think one other state, claiming that restrictions on abortion interfere with their religious freedom because abortion is a religious ritual for the Satanic Temple. No, folks, I'm not making it up. They actually filed a lawsuit. In fact, I'll pull that out. They actually filed a lawsuit saying that they have a First Amendment right to kill babies. I know. You hear that stuff and you go, you got to be making that up. I mean, that can't be, but it is. It is. And you'll get some pinhead judge somewhere who will say, yeah, you know, they've got a point. After all, they have a right to worship Satan too and kill babies in the process. Yeah, you'll get some pinhead judge somewhere to go along with that stupidity, that evil. But I mean, think of the unmitigated gall. The Satanic Temple. And by the way, Planned Parenthood loves it. Oh, they love it. Because now they've got open and explicit spiritual backing. Now, they already had some pseudo-Christian preachers. They already have some of these pseudo-Christian preachers whose lips are dripping with the blood of their abominable behavior and support for this satanic mess that they're doing in these abortuaries around the country. But you know, they've been fairly quiet. But now they've got partners. Now they can just league up with the Satanic Temple, and they can you know, really, now they're partners. They can come out of the closet, if you will. Because frankly, I don't care what denominational label they may carry. When you start dedicating abortion clinics, you are no better than a Jew in Elijah's day becoming a priest of Baal and going into the temple and sacrificing babies to Baal. You are no different. And the only antidote to this stuff, folks, is the truth. The truth. That's it. Praise God for this network and the ability to get it out. And you know, we can't be weak about it. We can't be mealy-mouthed about it. We've got to be bold as a lion, because they're certainly not going to go softly or gently into that good night. We're going to have to defeat them in the name of Jesus.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. attacks on free speech are increasing so much so that even liberals are concerned about people who say that free speech is dangerous and needs to be controlled. Jonathan Turley is a law professor at George Washington University, and he acknowledges that many may view him as a free speech purist, but reminds us that his views used to be mainstream for free speech. He also explains that public or private censorship does not produce better speech. It only produces more censorship and more controlled speech. That used to be the liberal view concerning free speech, but no longer. He reminds us that the Constitution was written not only for times like this, it was written during times like this. At the start of the Republic, the various factions, Republicans and Federalists, weren't just trying to cancel each other, but were actually trying to destroy and even kill each other. And there were rampant conspiracy theories back in that day. In other words, the Constitution was written in a period similar to ours today. He described some of the more extreme efforts. Last week, I talked about members of Congress who were trying to pressure various cable outlets and social media platforms to drop Fox News and any conservative commentary. An article by two law professors called for what Jonathan Turley termed Chinese-styled censorship by arguing that China's control of its media is better than the freedom we grant to networks. He concludes by assuring us that he doesn't believe that today's activists will succeed in removing the most watched cable news channel in 2020 from the airwaves. That may be true, but they may succeed in knocking off other smaller programs, and that should concern us. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Loneliness, go to viewpoints.info/loneliness. That's viewpoints.info/loneliness.
Hey, this is Mike Weaver from Big Daddy Weave. Each of us might have a friend, neighbor, or loved one who struggles with substance abuse, but there is a way out.
Basically, every day was doing drugs, recovering from drugs, or getting money to do drugs. I realized how miserable I was and that I was a lot happier being in prison sober than I was using. I decided to come to my Adult and Teen Challenge, and now that I'm sober and in recovery, I feel joy. Jesus is everything. Knowing that He has a plan for my life really gives me something to look forward to and a reason to continue on this path.
If you or a loved one, whether a teen or an adult, is ready to end an addiction, Adult and Teen Challenge can help. You can call them toll-free at 1-855-END-ADDICTION or visit them online at teenchallengeusa.org. You're listening to American Family Radio.
Brian Fisher here. Regressives are rapidly unraveling the life's work of Martin Luther King. Columbia University is proof. Biden is unloading migrant children into Texas communities in the middle of the night. More nations are dumping the AstraZeneca vaccine for a very good reason. And the Washington Post admits they attacked Trump with fake quotes. Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Here's a perfect example of this psychological warfare. Joyce Behar has said that Antifa is a fictitious idea, amplifying what I think, I'm pretty sure President Biden said this a while ago, but others have said as well. Antifa is not a problem. Antifa is not real. Antifa is not a threat. Antifa is a fiction. Yeah, really? Well, those people that you see coming to those protests, all dressed in black, organized, disciplined, and committed to violence, those are Antifa people. I mean, most folks don't understand. Antifa is explicitly dedicated to using violence to further their political ends, just like the Nazi brown shirts. You know, they want to talk about conservatives. You hear me on this program talk all the time about, I'm not talking about violence. I'm not talking about hurting people. We don't want to hurt people. We love people. We care about people, even people who don't agree with us. Antifa is committed. For example, for someone like me, if I were to be speaking at some school or something, and Antifa decided that they wanted to protest, they wouldn't just stand around and hold up signs or to try to debate me. No, they would come in. They would try to attack me physically. They would try to destroy the stage that you're standing on. They would try to disrupt the event. In other words, they would violently interfere with the ability to carry out the event. They call that deplatforming. And they make clear they will hit people, hurt people, shoot people. They will do whatever is necessary to, from their point of view, to stop the rise of fascism, because, of course, they're the fascists. And Joy Behar is putting out there, there's no such thing. Oh, Antifa is fictional. That's a fiction. And they'll repeat that again and again and again and again. And you'll get a lot of people who are watching some of these crazy, the CNN, the Communist News Network, MSNBC, the Marxist Socialist No Brains channel. And before you know it, they're thinking just like they think. And they don't realize they really are targets of psychological warfare. And here we are, when you think about it this way, wow, it really illuminates this, doesn't it? Because here we are now, what, 4 or 5 months after the Washington Post alleged that President Trump had said to a Georgia election official, I want you to find the fraud. I want you to find the fraud. And the Washington Post reported that as a quote, and that President Trump said you'd be a national hero if you did so, as a quote. Well, guess what? Somebody taped the call. The call was released in its entirety. And the President Trump, never said any of that. It was just a flat out bold faced lie. But you know what? I must have heard that, folks. I'm serious. I heard that 25 or 30 times, maybe 100. President Trump said, find the fraud, find the fraud, find the fraud. In other words, he's telling him, find it whether it's there or not. And the president never said any such thing. What the president did do was urge I think it's the Secretary of State there, but to whoever's investigating any irregularities to scrutinize the ballots in Fulton County. The president said, I think you'll find dishonesty there, and said, you know, your job right now is the most important job in the country. That's what he said. And the Washington Post reported him saying, find the fraud, like he was ordering this person, you go out there and you find fraud, whether it's there or not. This stuff, folks, is amazing. It is amazing when you start thinking about what is really going on in the precincts and the institutions of cultural influence in this country. It is amazing. Did you hear that? This guy who works for NBC. I don't watch him. At any rate, he's basically a big time reporter now for them. But he actually accused somebody of using a talking point. What was it? There was some issue. In other words, he didn't want to. As a reporter now, a journalist, he didn't want to give people facts. He didn't want to debate the issue. He wanted to use a label and say that, you know, they're using a Fox News talking point. What does that mean? You're supposed to be a reporter, a journalist? So these people have long since left the world of journalism, if they ever were journalists, many of them, most of them, and they've now just become propagandists and right, purveyors of psychological warfare. They're actually waging war against half the American people, trying to brainwash them and convince the rest of us that, you know, the emperor really has on a great suit of clothes. You know, they're trying to convince us, don't believe what your ears hear and what your eyes see. No, no, no. Believe us. And we'll tell you again and again and again and again until you finally believe it, because you're brainwashed into believing it. And look, this issue that came up, I just want to touch this. Because, see, I'm convinced of this, folks, that the Communist Chinese Party is infiltrating our country on a number of different levels. And one of the ways it's infiltrating our country is, I think, it's funneling money into Black Lives Matter, into Antifa, into the left, into Democrat candidates. And look, I don't think they're being stupid about it. I think the way they're doing it, because, see, anybody can set up a nonprofit organization in the country. And if somebody is a Chinese operative, if they're a communist operative, I mean, communist China's got enough people here to funnel all kinds of money anywhere they want without any real problem. They're not going to write a check from the communist government. They're going to launder that money, put that money into the hands of private citizens. It might be citizens. It might be people here on some kind of visa of some kind. And those people are then going to funnel that money where they want it to go. And the American people would never be the wiser. That's why I've said what we need in our country right now is a national security audit to find out where foreign money is going and from whom it's coming. Who's giving it and who's getting it? Because this came up with these ports. And, you know, I this is what I remembered. I knew I remembered something about the ports because the Communist Chinese had bought Long Beach Port in California. They bought it. And President Trump forced them to divest it. I'm pretty sure that divestiture has already happened. But President Trump stood up against it and forced them to get rid of it. Now, I don't know whether they bought others since then, but that's what I remember. And I knew there was something about a port, but President Trump said, you cannot own an American port, period. Well, this bunch that's in there in the White House now, they'd probably be the first to sell it to them. So there needs to be a national security audit in our country to determine to what extent Marxist, socialist, communist influence is finding its way into our country and our institutions, because that is a national security threat and it has nothing whatsoever to do with race. And people want to try to reduce it to being against the Chinese people as a race of people. We are not. As I've said many times, Christians are being persecuted by the communists in China. And the Uyghurs, who aren't Christians, they're human beings. We're concerned about them too. They're being persecuted. In fact, I understand China's committing a genocide against them. They're trying to kill them off. So it's not about race. It's about what is right. It's about righteousness. And folks, there's no such thing as a righteous communist. Okay? Let's just be clear. Communism is godless. It is evil. It denigrates the sacredness of the human being and the individual. And it is about absolute power and control over people. As I said, I think I said earlier, socialism is nothing but a glorified form of slavery. They just don't call it slavery, but they might as well call it slavery. That's what it is. And you got the same people running around telling America and Americans that we should be wringing our hands because we had slavery that ended 150 years ago, and we should be wringing our hands, and we should all feel guilty, and you know, we're just a terrible country. And they're trying to sell the country on a system that's worse, in my view, than the slavery of 150 years ago. Because it is absolute, it is the capturing of the human soul. That's what they want. To turn you into an automaton. No thank you. Back in a moment.
It's my turn. Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Some years ago, there was a young man who wanted to find a place to serve his fellow man. Searching, praying, looking, he came to the conclusion that God had called him to be a minister. He began his preparation. He worked hard toward being a minister, but things just didn't seem to fit in place. Following a trying period, he finally left the ministry and turned to medicine. Being a Canadian, he studied at the University of Toronto. During World War I, he served his country as a soldier. Returning to Canada, he practiced medicine in London, Ontario. However, business was not very good for him. Patients simply did not come. But he was not to become discouraged. A man of usefulness, he began reading all the latest medical journals in his spare time. He became obsessed with the tragedies he saw in the disease called diabetes. It was taking the lives of many people. In 1921, he gave up his practice of medicine and borrowed a laboratory in which to conduct experiments. This man had little help or encouragement from his friends. Nevertheless, he worked steadily in the laboratory. He was searching for a cure for the dreaded disease of diabetes. He had a helper by the name of Charles Best. They both applied their knowledge and skill toward the discovery for a cure of diabetes. You know, sometimes it's hard to find one's place in life. Often it seems for many of us that we just don't fit in anywhere. We try one thing and it doesn't work out. Then we go to another field with not much success. But there's a feeling in all of us, and I think it's divinely implanted, that somewhere there's a job for us to do. And the truth is, there is. We all have a role to play in the theater of life. None of us are of such little importance that we should be left out when the curtain is pulled and the play begins. We each have a special talent given by our Creator, which He expects us to pass on to others. We probably aren't able to do some things as well as other people do them, but then they aren't capable of doing some things as well as we do them either. We should each do the best we can with what we have to do with. I guess you call that stewardship. If we'll make that serious search, we'll find our place in life. How was it that the Good Shepherd said it? Seek and you shall find. I believe he meant that. Keep looking, keep searching, keep hunting for your spot to fill. And one day you will find it. And life will have meaning and purpose because you do. The man who left the ministry for medicine was Sir Frederick Grant Banting. He found his place and discovered insulin. Millions of diabetics are glad he did. And if you haven't found your place, keep searching. You will.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I want to get some of your calls in during this segment. I'll mention a couple of other things while you all are calling in. President Biden has now called for ministers and churches to encourage their people to take the vaccine. And if the president doesn't mind, I will respectfully decline to do that. Now, I'm not one of these people who's just against vaccines, okay? Because vaccines have been a tremendous blessing to our country. There's no question about it. I mean, the polio vaccine stopped the spread of a disease that rendered people crippled for the rest of their lives. And many other vaccines have been a big help. Lately, there's been a controversy over whether some vaccines are creating autism. And I think that's a discussion that needs to be had and research that needs to continue to be done. And I frankly, I don't trust the official line on that, that it was, we've looked at it, it's just not true. When you see a phenomenon happening, something is causing it, and there are more autistic people today than we've ever seen before in our history. Autism has a higher rate than it's ever been in our history. Something is causing it. But I'm not one of those people who just say, well, I'm just against vaccines. But here's what I would say. I think every individual has to make that decision for his or herself in good conscience before God. And I don't think the government has a right to be ordering Americans to do that. Although there's some people who seem to be committed to some sort of totalitarian system where you no longer have any freedom of choice. Okay? They want freedom of choice when it comes to destroying unborn babies, but they don't want to give you any freedom of choice when it comes to anything that truly should recognize and respect your human autonomy. We don't do that with regard to an unborn child because we know that that child is a separate person who happens to spend the first 9 months of his or her life supported by her mother's body. But that doesn't mean that you can just kill it because it is at that point, or at least at the earliest stages, incapable of living outside of that environment. So, no thank you, President Biden. I will not encourage people to get the vaccine. I will encourage people to examine the facts and consider on their own what they want to and do not want to do. And then that's what freedom is all about. And then they make their decision. And of course, they either reap the benefits or they bear the consequences, or they may change their minds at some point or whatever. But that's what freedom is all about. And I'm really deeply disturbed by how the fear and hysteria over COVID has been used to undermine the American commitment to freedom, to individual liberty. So no thank you, Mr. President. I will not be doing that. And by the way, you know, talk about, once again, psychological warfare. How many times have you heard this? Follow the science, follow the science, follow the science. You know, it's as if Fauci came down from Mount Sinai. I am Dr. Fauci. You shall listen to no other voices beside me. Really, that's the attitude people have. And what we've learned is the science doesn't half the time know what they're talking about. I mean, half the time they've got it wrong, maybe more often than that. But here again, we're supposed to suspend our own judgment, suspend our own decision-making, and obey. You have been commanded, now obey. By the way, did you all know? I verified this, or at least Forbes magazine reported it. Fauci is the highest paid federal employee in the government. No, folks, the highest. He makes more than the president. The president makes $400,000 a year, which President Trump, of course, gave away. Fauci makes $417,000 a year as a federal employee. Nice gig. 888-589-8840. I don't have a problem with that man making that much money. I just have a problem with the taxpayers kind of paying him to do what, in my view, is nothing and is not a very good job of the nothing that he does, except make pronouncements that have to be reversed every so often. I mean, I just don't, $417,000, but I guess he's a public civil, a civil service employee or something, I guess. But yeah, he makes $417,000 a year. To tell you what you're supposed to do, to tell you, don't go see your grandparents, don't go see your grandchildren. Yeah, we really are under a psychological warfare attack. But you know what? Here at AFR, we're fighting back with the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us God. Okay, let's come to your calls. Let's go to Haywood in Mississippi. Haywood, welcome.
Thank you, and Thank you for a man of God that's got enough courage to talk about psychological warfare and the infiltration of communism into every aspect of American culture. It's been going on for years, and people better wake up. You talked about the brown shirts earlier. They helped Hitler come to power through the psychological warfare, and just like you nailed it, they say the same thing over and over, so you'll finally believe it. What happened to the brown shirts? After Hitler came to power, what'd he do to them? Same thing he's going to do to the elites that are trying to bring this communist power into our country. He's going to get rid of them first. And I praise you, God, for a man like you, and I'll take your comments off air. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Haywood. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Of course, Hitler's not going to do anything, but these forces of communism, you know, here again, I know people say, aren't you going too far? Aren't you overstating the case? Look, folks, the Bible says that the heart of man is deceitfully wicked above everything. Who can know it? When people decide they're going to operate and be their own God, you know, just hold on to your hat, because get ready for a rough ride. And that's what we're facing right now, except we're just going to defeat these folks. We're going to defeat them. In the name of Jesus, we're going to defeat them. Okay, let's go to Tom in Texas. Tom, welcome.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Bishop. I just want to say, in the beginning, you know, God created Adam and Eve. He didn't create Adam and Steve. And I just want to know if you heard about Pelosi saying that the reason all these illegals are coming over here because of climate control. I don't know if you've heard that or not.
Yeah. Tom, these people have just completely lost touch with reality. I mean, let's face it. They have completely lost touch with reality. Yeah, climate change. Yeah, climate change is why they're coming. Right. Thank you for the call, though, Tom. Let's see. I think we can get a quick... Mary from Kansas. Well, I see a quick comment from Mary from Kansas. Mary, welcome.
Yes, I was just saying, you know, people used to come here because they knew America was great. But so many people, are sending just their kids, and I don't understand that, because the Democrat, all they want to do is teach them to chant or believe in Hitler or abort our children. So why bring other children here? You know, the Democrats act like they hate the youth. Our teachers, a lot of them, won't come back to work knowing our kids are committing suicide. It's just like it's a field out there. Let's get rid of as many youth as we can and bring in the ones that we can brainwash right away to do our agenda. So,
all right, Mary, I don't know what's wrong with your phone there, but thank you for the comment. Well, yeah, look, the Democrat Party is certainly not explicitly teaching anybody to obey or follow or like Hitler. They would say they're doing exactly the opposite. What we're pointing out is that the tactics of suppression of free speech, the tactics of intimidation, the tactics of Antifa, threatening violence for anybody who says anything that they don't agree with, those are the kinds of tactics the Nazis used. And then they turn around and accuse us of being Nazis when we talk about we love them, we pray for them, we don't want to hurt them. We want to persuade them to think differently, but we don't want to do any violence to them. And yet they point the finger constantly at us as if we're not worthy of life, and we're the bad people. Back in a moment.
News with a Christian perspective. American Family News.
Steve Jordahl reports.
Dan Gaynor of Media Research Center says
CNN has become a political network.
Top-notch reporting.
Open Doors has identified the countries where it is most dangerous and difficult to be a Christian. AFN's Bill Bumpus has more.
As it has in the past several years, the report shows a dramatic increase in the persecution of Christians.
Insightful coverage. American Family News. American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
Hi, this is Dan Steiner, president of Preborn, and I want to send a big thank you for standing for life to you. Because of listeners like you in 2020, Preborn sponsored over 45,000 free ultrasound sessions to women in need, saved over 31,000 babies, and prayed with over 6,500 women to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord. The battle rages on in 2021 at an even greater level, and our goal is to give Planned Parenthood the biggest competition ever.
I'm going to keep my baby, and I'm going to be a great mom.
The Ministry of Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country, and their mission is to help save babies' lives and souls through love and compassion and the message of Jesus Christ. To find out more, go to preborn.com. Again, that's preborn.com, or simply dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say the keyword baby. Your love can save a life.
An adversarial climate will not lead to growth.
It may feel good to be antagonistic, but when you're at odds with your spouse, it'll get you nowhere, as Dr. Gary Chapman suggests on today's Focus on the Family Minute.
But a love climate leads to the possibility of growth. So I suggest the tender love approach and periodically asking your spouse questions such as, what could I do to make your life easier? Or what could I do to be a better husband or a better wife? And getting that feedback and working on those things. And what happens in the mind of the other person is they begin to think, they're changing. I like this person. I like what's happening here. And so they respond to what you're doing for them. It's that kind of attitude that has the potential of turning a person around.
Close the distance by offering love and grace. More from Dr. Chapman at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
We're back. The number is 888-589-8840. Let's come right to your calls. Get as many in as we can. Let's go to Donald in Texas. Donald, welcome.
Hello, sir. I've got a question for you right quick.
Sure.
If you can hear me. Okay. You know, they're saying you can kill babies up to the day they're born, abortion. What is the difference in that and somebody going out being drunk and running over a pregnant woman? If he does that and kills her, he's charged with double murder. What's the difference there? Where's the difference at? I'll hang up and let you speak on that. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for calling, Donald. Well, look, let's face it. Substantively, morally, there is no difference. If a person is driving drunk and they kill that person, runs over a pregnant woman, kills her and kills her baby. Now, by the way, I don't think that's true in New York anymore. I think New York did away with, and it might be one or two other states that have done away with this idea of the baby having any protection of law. But you're right. In most jurisdictions, you do that, and you will be charged with double murder, a double homicide at the very least, even if it's not first-degree murder, double manslaughter, or double reckless homicide. And you're right. Morally and substantively, there is no difference. But here again, remember, the left has no logical consistency because that's not what they're looking for. I mean, they here again, because they reject the morality of God and they create their own morality. See, in their morality, now listen to this closely, because some of you already know this, but some of you listening may not realize this. In their morality, abortion is a good thing. It's not just an unfortunate necessity. It's a good thing, a moral thing, a wonderful thing. Did you all see the rally that they had in Seattle, where they had this one entertainer who stood up and bragged about the fact that she had most of her abortions in Seattle and you know, basically just celebrated. Yeah, I had my first abortion here. Yeah, you know, I tell you what, you know, just bragging about it, and the people were cheering it. So, yeah, if you're looking for moral or logical consistency coming out of the left, just forget it. And frankly, I think if they had their way, they would say an unborn baby deserves no protection under law, under any circumstances. Thank you for the call, my friend. Let's go to Greg in Tennessee. Greg, welcome.
Thank you, Brother Jackson. I sure do appreciate you. I mean, for decades, we paid people to terrorize us by buying oil from them. First thing this president does is come in and take away our energy independence and just wipes that off the map. Gas is up to skyrocketing prices now. But then the Word of God says the borrower shall be subject to the lender. And the best I understand, China owns the greater majority of our debt. And unless the sovereignty of God changes it, I don't see this thing turning around. We are subject to the lender, and we have a president and an administration and a deep state that is making sure that that's true. I mean, Nikita Khrushchev said at Kent State, you know, America will not fall from without, she will fall from within. And we're on a fast track to doing that. And like I said, I thank God that there's enough grace and mercy for every Chinese communist out there, every Muslim out there, and anyone that will call on the name of Christ can follow after him. But as far as this nation is concerned, I really think we've made ourselves subject to the lender. And I don't see it turning around aside from the sovereignty of God.
Well, look, that latter part that you said, thank you for the call too, Greg, that latter part that you said is, I think, the key, except for the sovereignty of God, except by the grace of God, except by the mercy of God. And the question we have to ask ourselves is there enough grace and enough mercy for God to turn this nation around? And I say the answer is yes. Because, you know, you all are familiar with Psalm 2, and I was just reading that just a day or two ago. The Lord really led me to it. But you know that psalm says, ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. And so I say, well, Lord, I'm only asking for one. You know, God says, ask of me and I will give you nations. And I said, Lord, I only want one, the United States of America. And see, and I believe that God has given us, I shared this with you all the other day, and if I'm repeating myself, forgive me, but I think this is worth repeating. Shortly after I got saved, within, I would say, 1 to 2 years, the Lord spoke this to me, and it has marked my life. The Lord said, America is my gift to you, and you are a steward of my gift. Now, I didn't take that to mean, folks, that I'm some kind of great figure that God expects me to blah, blah. No, I took that to mean that God wanted me to take seriously as an American citizen, like all of us should, that this nation is a gift to us and that we have got to be stewards of this great gift. And so I don't believe God would say that to me with the intention of having the nation fall down around my ears. And I really believe that God is going to give us a third great awakening. There's going to be a third great awakening. And that those of us who love God and love this country and believe that our prayers are efficacious, that the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous avail much, can have confidence that God is hearing and answering our prayers. In fact, I'll tell you what, I really believe it's already begun. I really do. You know, when Elijah was looking for rain, he asked his servant, what do you see? And for a while he saw nothing. And then he said, I see a cloud about the size of a man's hand. And Elijah said, get down. Tell Ahab, get down before the rain stops you, because it comes. You know, you look at things like the number of conservatives elected last year. When there was the plan was for the leftists to take stronger reign in the House of Representatives and to take the Senate. And really, they managed to take the Senate by one vote with that Georgia debacle, which I think is going to end in 2 years, by the way. I think it's going to end in 2 years because I predict that Raphael Warnock will not be reelected. And I think he's up for election. He's serving a temporary seat. He's up for election in 2 years. So I would just say I do not believe that America is on the brink of judgment. I'll tell you what, I do believe that the people who continue to sow the wind are going to reap the whirlwind. You know, you can't avoid that. You reap what you sow. But President Joe Biden doesn't represent my vision for this country. Kamala Harris doesn't represent my vision for this country. And so I don't feel like I'm bound by these leaders. I think I still, and you and I, all of us, we still stand as independent thinkers and prayer warriors and disciples of Jesus Christ. We still stand for what is right. And look, God is not impressed by Joe Biden as president and his power. You know what I mean? As his office. Like, God is like, ooh, wow, he's the president of the United States. Let me step back. God is more impressed by one saint on your knees in earnest prayer before him than he is by all the presidents and potentates of the earth pounding their chests and saying what they're going to do in rebellion against God. Let me come back to the lines here, folks. Let's go to Walter in Oklahoma. Walter, welcome.
All right, thanks for taking my call. I'll just quickly say, you mentioned about the Washington Post article where they lied about what the president said. Mm-hmm. Well, there's also, does anybody remember when Adam Schiff, about the president talking with a member of the Ukraine, and he lied about it, and they called him out. He said he was just making a parody. But it was basically a lie, and also about Dr. Fauci. Does anybody know that in the book Plague of Corruption, Dr. Fauci and China and Bill Gates had a conference years before where they wanted to come up with air quotes a pandemic so they could study it, or a virus basically where they could study it. And then Dr. Fauci predicted a pandemic in 2019, and also Obama told him to stop trying to create this virus because it was scary, but he continued it when Trump came to office. I don't think Trump knew this, because he just wanted to create this so they could study, so they could know how to protect it. And so why they get...
Walter, listen, I'm close to the end. I want to get a couple more calls in, but good points there, Walter. I haven't seen that they were trying to create the pandemic, but I know that they wanted to study one, and I know that to his credit, President Obama tried to stop them from some of the experimentation because he thought it was dangerous. Let's go to Jimmy in Georgia. Jimmy, welcome.
Yes, Bishop, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Bishop, how about you?
All right, I just want to mess with you. My pastor, he's a Marine. I got a best friend, a Marine. I always tell them it's good that they came to the armor of the Lord, because I was in the military. I was in the Army.
Okay, I got you. I got you, Jimmy.
But my concern is when I was in the Gulf War, we took a lot of vaccination. And even to this day, after 30 years, I'm still, you know, having problems with vaccination.
Wow.
And people need to do their due diligence and study and make sure they know what they are putting in their bodies, you know, as a studying for a toxicity and detox specialist. It's a lot of the toxins and stuff that people put in their body that is messing a lot of people's up.
Well, Jimmy, first of all, thank you for your service, and thank you for that sobering warning. See, that's what I mean. That's why you don't force this on people. You're right. Let people do their due diligence and make their own decisions. Well, I think I'm one caller. I was really looking forward to getting to the subject matter you were going to raise, but I simply don't have time to do it. So call me back again tomorrow, and we'll try to get you on. In the meantime, folks, look, just be encouraged, because here again, Jesus made clear there is nothing that can defeat the truth. And we're of the truth. And Jesus said, all who are of the truth, hear my voice. If they won't hear Jesus' voice, that means they're not of the truth. And if they're not of the truth, guess what? They are going down to ignominious defeat. It's not a matter of if or whether. It's only a matter of when. In the meantime, remember, folks, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.